Thank you, Pastor Dick, for that wonderful introduction. I am a little bit nervous right now, but you made my feeling lighter. Thank you. Well, it is so good to see you all. Not really so good because my knees are still trembling. I remember the first time here at APMTS. The first time I stood before a group of students and professors to preach, because our professor in preaching was Dr. Agbuya, and he required us to preach as a requirement before an audience. So that was my first trembling moments, and it seems it's returning. No. Well, anyway, how do I start? I thank Cherie, my friend, for inviting me over, although I was very hesitant, really, because I feel really nervous. But she gave me and suggested to me the topic, Do It Again, based on Habakkuk 3, verse 2. I like the passage because I think it is very fortunate and appropriate nowadays when the whole church community is being rocked by the news of falling away of several workers, church ministers and pastors. In the like of Joshua Harris, maybe you have heard and you know, and Marty Sampson, and the latest was Jared Wilson, who took his life. The first two just denounced their Christian faith. It is a shock to many of us, but this is a great challenge to our time as a church and believers. Apostasy is real. It is being felt and seen in our time. But apostasy has already been there and has been here all along. Maybe it is just that because of the social media now, the news of some leaders falling are easily disseminated and made known. But the Bible tells us about it. For example, in 1 Timothy 4:1, it says, in the latter times, some will abandon their faith and follow deceiving spirits and the things taught by demons. Even our Lord Jesus Christ predicted what will happen in the end times, and it served as a warning to the believers. It says, at that time, many will turn away from the faith. Turning away from the faith. And many will betray and hate each other. Now, there is one scripture verse that really, really, I got scared very much. It's in Hebrews 6, 4-6, which says, it is impossible for those who have been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, and who have fallen away to be brought back to repentance. Isn't that scary? We are living at a time where believers should feel scary. Apostasy is the great challenge in our Christian faith. And the Bible is telling us, guard our faith, lest we fall. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Falling away from faith is a personal pitfall, I believe. And keeping away from falling is a personal responsibility. Everyone should guard his faith and be responsible in keeping that faith alive. The problem with many Christians nowadays, they point fingers and blame others for what is happening to them and for pulling away. And even believers toward other believers blame themselves for not doing their role as a church and as a group of believers. But one thing that we need to recognize, we or each and every one of us is responsible to keep her faith. You and me is responsible to keep your and my faith strong. Because our faith is the target of the enemy, we must learn to guard it and keep it alive. Well, that is just an introduction. Let me, the title of my message today is Faith Revival. So we will be dealing with faith and revival, because this is the very important thing that we need to do today. And we shall read through the book of Habakkuk. It's just a small, short passage, 3 chapters, but we do not have time to read everything. But the Bible tells us about faith and revival. Although it tells also about the prophecy of Judah, we shall leave the history and the theology of that. I would like us to concentrate on some spiritual jewels that can speak to our hearts today. Now, I found here some steps how our faith is evolved, how trials and difficulties had shaped the faith of Habakkuk, was refined and molded unto completeness, and the faith has become his living power, upon which God said, the just shall live by faith. So faith is our weapon against apostasy. We must understand how to use this weapon and how to operate it in battle. If we're just holding an armor or a weapon without knowing how to use it, we will be defeated. Now let us take a little understanding about faith. Man is said to be born with faith, and this is called inherent faith or natural faith. This operates in humanity and in this world that we live in. Our actions are determined by what we believe, right? Generally speaking, man lives by faith. Our decisions, our choices operate on what we believe. Example, sitting on a chair, because you believe the chair will hold your weight, so you sit. It's faith, natural faith. When you drink water from a glass, you take the glass with water because you believe the water can quench your thirst. Natural faith. When you turn on the key of the car, the ignition engine, because you believe it won't run, the car will not run unless you do that. Natural faith. Even drinking your favorite coffee, perhaps, is dictated by your faith, what you believe. Some believe Starbucks is good, right? Who likes Starbucks? Some believe, what are other brands of coffee do we know? Tim Hortons? You have coffee grounds. You may try it. My mother-in-law was so affected by this natural belief. When she was living, she liked imported goods. She was baking. That was her pastime. And she would only buy ingredients that come from America, because she believed they are of good quality. You see, that belief that becomes faith that you believe in, upon which you base your choices and your decisions. And one thing is, faith can control our minds and commands our faculties. What actions to do? A friend of mine, when she was applying for a job, she would always wear a purple dress because she believed it is good luck. But every time she wears that, unfortunately, she does not get the job. So that's the irony of it. All right, now let's talk about biblical faith, because this is what interests us. This is what the Bible teaches us. This is the belief in the one true living God who revealed himself in the scriptures. This is the faith that we received as a gift from God through the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ. And this is the faith that God is continuously working on, perfecting it, completing it. And he assigned the Son, Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, to do the job of completion. Jesus said, and he promised, what he has begun in us, he will complete it. That refers to faith. Your faith and my faith is very precious to God. It is his gift to us for eternity. That's why the Bible says, without faith, we cannot please God. It is impossible to please God without faith. How important is your faith to you? How important is faith to me? Is it God only who is important, or is it God only who cares about our faith? We must care for our faith. We must guard our faith, because it is a gift to eternity. Now, in the book of Habakkuk, we learn a lot how to keep our faith alive, how to keep it living faith, to be a living faith. One line there that has not been repeated in the whole book is in chapter 2, verse 3 or 4, which says, the just shall live by faith. This is the very essence of this book on faith in the life of Habakkuk. And we need to nurture this faith. And God promised to refine it until he comes, for us to be ready for the end times and to the return of our Lord. Now, we can see the book in three scenarios. Am I looking at the correct time? It's going 12, and I am about to finish at 12. So it's over. What do I do? Oh my goodness, tell me. My faith is not running now. My natural faith. Do I have to stop now, or? Oh dear. You know, at TFCN, they have taught us preachers to be on time. The reason why I am always in the Tagalog service is after the Tagalog service, 8:30 to 10, there's still a gap of 30 minutes before the second service or English congregation begins. And that 30 minutes can be mine. I can go over time. But here, I don't think I can do that. So, oh, okay. I'll just read it. You know, when I preach, I write the manuscript so I can read it. Well, anyway, let's see what happens. I still have 5-6 minutes here. God wants a living faith in us. So let's go to the word revival. Revival in the verse, chapter 3, verse 2, when Habakkuk prayed that, let me read that. Oh, this takes time. Well, what does that say? Revive us. Chapter 3, verse 2. In NIV, it says, renew them. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day. King James uses the word revive, your work. And I would like to apply this word revive to our faith. Revive our faith. And Habakkuk would be better to pray it like this. Revive my faith, Lord. Now, the word revive, other than other meanings of renewing or restoring or, you know, giving back the life, means to preserve. To preserve the life. So to preserve the faith that was already in Habakkuk is the work of God from the beginning of time, because he cherishes and he is concerned about our faith, because he is concerned about your soul, because we are saved by this kind of faith. Now, do I get it? Am I getting across to you? Now, so this faith and revival is what we are going to focus on this morning. We will see three scenarios here in the book. The first chapter, we will see Habakkuk wrestling with God. He was depressed. His faith was fainting. And in chapter 2, we would see him resting in God. And you know the name Habakkuk means to embrace, to cling. Clinging to God, embracing God. And in chapter 3, we would see Habakkuk rejoicing. So you see, the book begins with depression and loneliness and blaming God and ends up jubilantly, triumphantly, victoriously, thanking God, rejoicing because he found revival. He was revived. So you see, this is the jewel of faith from the book of Habakkuk. Let me just share to you some steps that I found out and I discovered while God was dealing in the faith of Habakkuk. First is, revival begins with trials, difficulties, and hardships. That was a description in chapter 1. Our faith will be measured. Do you know that? How small, how little, how big. God will measure our faith before revival comes in. Before he can work on our revival, he has to measure our faith. I remember when I was younger, I love jewels. Rings, you know, earrings. My mother, I inherited from her several gold jewelries. They are so many and tiny. I went to a jewelry shop and I said, can you convert this into just one beautiful ring? And the jewelry person said, I need to first determine the quality of the gold, how many carats. They measure that. They have the measurement. It turned out my set of rings that I am trading to one nice, beautiful, and quality one is under carat, 10 carats. And I want the 14 carat one. And he said, your gold does not measure up to a 14 carat ring. So he said, what we can do is you have to pay additional and a little bit expensive. So we can add to the 40 carat and convert it to the 10 carat to the 14 carat. That's the way revival begins. God will measure our faith according to the carat that it has, so He can give the best quality for it. Remember Jesus' disciples at sea? They were with Jesus all along. They saw how He worked miracles, and they trusted Jesus, and they went with Him, and they did not want to leave Jesus. They will go wherever He would go. They will do whatever Jesus told them to do. That was faith. But at the sea, where they experienced the storms, there their faith was measured. Jesus said, when they were all scared and trembling because their boat was sinking, Jesus' voice was heard, "Oh, you little faith, men of little faith, why did you doubt?" But He was not scolding them. It was a measuring moment so that Jesus can provide the necessary power and show them the power that He is, and to demonstrate to them that He is God. After that fearful moment, Jesus just said, He stilled the waves, and the sea and the waves just come down. And the disciples exclaimed, "Who is this that even the waves and the sea obeys?" And one time Peter was able to walk on water because he looked to Jesus and he trusted Jesus. He could walk straight toward Jesus. But a big wave suddenly appeared before Peter. And what happened? He sank. "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" That was a moment that Peter experienced for the first time the big loving hand, saving hand of his Lord and Master. He had seen Jesus touch so many people, but this time it is himself, Peter, who was being reached out by Jesus. "Come up." And Peter exclaimed, remember, "Oh, you are the Son of the living God." That is faith. Now revival comes, and that is the first thing. When our faith is measured by trials and difficulties. Have you been in that situation when God can measure your faith? When was the last time you suffered? See, my phone is giving me trouble. Right, there it is. All right. So when was the last time God measured your faith? When was the last time you felt you need a revival? Many years ago, 20 years now, when my husband passed away, we were living in a very comfortable, we were living a very comfortable life. My husband was, he came from a prominent family in Taytay, well-respected, and earning plenty compared to others around. Now when God called him to the ministry, which I followed him, things changed. Things changed. When he gave up his lucrative business, when he gave up comforts, of course, his family, we had three little children then already, have to follow him. So, we lived in a life where we said to the Lord, we will live by faith. But after a few years of serving faithfully, after a few years of really enjoying the work of God and blessing the work of God, God took him away from me. And when I was, and when my sons were orphaned and I was widowed, we have no means of living because he left nothing for us. Add to the loss of the life of my husband, we lost the possessions that we inherited from our in-laws. It was a really difficult time. We have nowhere to go, nothing, no cars, no house. The house we were living in, we were ejected from it. What remained was just a box barn where I thought would be our living house after we were ejected. But, you know, at that time, I questioned God. Not questioning about his faithfulness, but questioning my own faithfulness. I really deserve this kind of life, Lord, when I have been faithful to you and my husband has been faithful to you. Have I not done enough? So you see the measurement. I'm measuring my faith. Aside from God, we'll measure our faith, how far we can handle the situation. I measured mine. Now in our faith, God will measure also our faith by the trials that will come in our life. Now the next thing that happened, and this is step two, prepare for God's answer to you. Oh, this is really shocking because when Habakkuk was trying to question God, oh God, what is happening? He was seeing all the sinfulness and the wickedness of Judah around. He sees the injustice. He sees the corruption. He sees, you know, evil. And he was asking God, God, why are you allowing this to happen? Why to your good people? You're not doing anything. I have been praying you, you've not been hearing me, you've not been answering me. And that was Habakkuk's complaint. Now hear God's answer to him. And it is very, very strong. He said, I am doing something. I am doing something. God did not elaborate his explanations. He just said, I am. He was reminding Habakkuk, who is God himself. The answer to all our troubles, the answer to all our depressions, the answer to all our questions is God himself. The great I am. Oh, you know what word? The word I am means. I am is the God who is powerful and sovereign. Everlasting God, no beginning and no end, the Alpha and the Omega, the experiential God, the God who can be experienced. Yahweh, I am, is the God Almighty to Moses who delivered the Israelites from the Egyptians. I am is the God El Shaddai to Abraham who covenant with him to raise a nation who will be God's own people and give them the promised land. I am is the God who showed himself to Isaiah as the Holy One, sitting on the throne, reminding Isaiah, I am in control. And he is the I am to David, who delivered him from all his troubles and forgave his sins. And to Habakkuk, he is the I am. The God who is doing something. Who is God to you? Who is the I am to you? What are you going through today? Pressures in your requirements? Yeah, that can make you depressed. Especially if you receive a failing grade after all those hard work. But remember, when you so feel all alone, when the load seems so heavy, you have the great I Am. The God that you have received as Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I think we have to jump. We're running out of time. The third step to revival is seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. In chapter 2, we see a beautiful scenario of a humble Habakkuk. When he could no longer contain the revelations that God has made him see, he just could not believe why God would allow such things to happen. By the way, the other revelation that God told Habakkuk was, I am raising Babylonians. I am raising the Chaldeans against Judah. And that was beyond the expectation of Habakkuk. No, Lord, that should not be. That is not the way to do it. Or sometimes we feel like, you know, we are better than God and we know better than God. See? We tell him what to do. So just to suffice ourselves. He was a proud Habakkuk with a stubborn heart in chapter 1. But in chapter 2, verse 1, we see a meek, humble Habakkuk praying, waiting upon the Lord. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and that answer I am to give to this complaint. Now he was ready to listen. Now he was ready to hear what the Lord will say and he will obey. He was ready to accept the will of God. Honestly, revival comes when we seek God. Revival comes when we pray. Revival comes when we learn to wait upon the Lord. When we wait upon the Lord, there is the renewing of our strength. There is the renewing of our spirit, a new freshness. Just as Isaiah is saying in Isaiah 40:31, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Shall revive their strength, shall revive their faith. They will soar like eagles. They will fly. They will run and not faint. They will walk and not go weary. Oh, eagles are wonderful birds. You know, waiting time, praying time is a moment of receiving the power from God. You know why eagles are wonderful birds? They are very powerful birds, and their life is so long. At 40 years, according to science, old eagles will find a high place, a rocky place, and stay there for several weeks. You know what they do? The eagle will, sharpen its beaks, knocked it against the hard rock or wall so that will be replaced by a new one. And then plucked out all their palons so that new ones will grow. And after that, it can be able to live another 30 years. That is revival. When we fell, we lost all our energy. When we feel so faint already, let us allow God to renew us. It will not be easy. Sometimes it is painful. But God has to do it. When Habakkuk was asking, why the Chaldeans? They are more fierce. They are more evil. They are more wicked. Why use them against your own people in Judah? Or sometimes we can ask God the same question. But here is God's reason. He wants to perfect our faith by burning all the impurities that is in our hearts. You know, gold, when you want gold to be pure, it will be subjected to high heat so that all the melts, all the impurities will melt. Do you know the milk that you are drinking? Are you drinking whole milk or skimmed milk? When the whole milk is put on fire and heated, the skim will float and scraped off. And what you get is the skimmed milk, less fat, good for health. So God has always a purpose whenever He sends trials and difficulties to us. Now let's go to the third. Oh no, you will not invite me again anymore because we got overtime here. Chapter 3, we see a jubilant Habakkuk already. He was rejoicing. And I just want to let us, and this has become my inspiration. Here's a statement and declaration of faith, a triumphal and victorious living faith. Is found in chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. And let me read this to you. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive tree crops fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. Can't read now. He enables me to go on the heights. What a beautiful faith. A description of a living faith. Now he is changed. Finally, complete revival has come upon Habakkuk. The situation did not change. It has yet to come. The doomsday is yet to come at an appointed time. And Habakkuk was sure it was coming, but all the fears and the doubts confusion is gone because God, he learned to trust God completely. The prophecy was not altered. It's the same, but Habakkuk said, now I can rejoice because God is my strength. God is my strength. Today, I don't know if you need a revival or not. But there will always be times our faith is just like a roller coaster going up and down, going up and down. Even little things bother us and make us depressed. Even the weather, if the weather is rainy or thunderous, it bothers us. But whenever you feel faint in the heart, whenever you feel depressed, the only answer is God. You can find rest in Him. Oh yes, the name of Habakkuk describes his faith. Embraced God. He clinged to Him tightly. I did many years ago. And never did I let God go again. He will do the same to you. I know we don't have much time. I would just like one perhaps to invite you to ask God to revive you in whatever measure of your faith today. We might not have the time anymore, but as we close our eyes, please, you know what to do. You are already matured people. You are not children anymore. Have your own faith. You would know how to come to Jesus. You would know how to seek God. I need not tell you how. I did not tell you or ask you to come forward. You can do it at your seat. And just ask God, God, revive my faith. Strengthen my faith. Perfect my faith. I would like to trust you, embrace you, true and true. in whatever situation I will be in, Lord, I would like to embrace you. Oh, dear God, bless your people today. Oh, if they heard your voice, if they heard your words, may they go home fully revived in their faith. In Jesus' name, amen.